It is the 21st of September. It is 50 minutes until we go and play Halo, so we've got to get it all in. This is episode 62 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along. I'm Chris, and I am joined today by Ian.
Good day, and it's 45 minutes, so get your skates on.
Crikey, we better crack right on in there. So let's get on with some news then. Twitter have announced that they are going to update their website, they are updating their main website.
And they have updated their main website. So it's they're going on a worldwide simultaneous rollout. But simultaneous,
I haven't got it yet.
Yeah, simultaneous really means like they'll randomly pick people. So it is getting rolled out, but it's just random whether you get it or not.
Yeah, so I haven't seen it yet. So they're working more in panes, and there's sort of two sides to the window, and things open up on the right side, as far as I could tell by the video.
Very much like the iPad.
Which people moaned about and didn't like.
Yes. And one of my four accounts actually does have it.
All right. Is it the fat one?
It is, and I don't follow anybody, so it's totally pointless.
So that was only opened up very recently, so maybe they're rolling out for smaller accounts first.
No, I've seen it just looks, it does look totally random, and people think by moaning on Twitter that they might get it. I especially like the kind of ones that are like desperate to cover it properly, you know, saying, come on Twitter, give us a break, give me my, no, sod off.
Is it really that important to get it that early?
No.
Definitely not.
Well, it is if
so what
life,
kind of stuff? But so what kind of stuff are they doing?
Well, I guess it's important if your life is all about the clicks and you're just desperate to get a news story out there.
But right.
It's a lot for it looks a lot cleaner. And you can see a video. You go on the Twitter website and there's a video all about it. You can see little mini profiles of everybody. As you've already said, there's this right hand panel, so you can, you know, content slides out. The thing that really impressed me, they've partnered with 16 partners, so they're actually showing multimedia content on the site. So instead of a link now, they'll actually show you the video, or they'll show you an image.
Now that is good.
The one that really stood out for me, if I link to a Flickr set, so I am a Flickr user, if I link a tweet to a Flickr set, if you click and view it on the panel, you get to see all the images in the panel plus a slideshow at the bottom.
And that, say, this is obviously all designed to make their website proposition more compelling, to get people to keep coming back to them so they can serve ads, I guess, at some point.
And they've always said that their website is their biggest client. You know, that's the biggest client that everybody... And I've always thought, who uses it? And I guess the reason I say that is, for me, it's blocked at work, so it forces me into using a client. And on the Mac, I use a client. On the iPad and on the iPhone, I use clients. So it's
funny. My main usage of Twitter is on the website, just because that's where I'm sat most of the time, and I don't happen to block myself.
I think if it wasn't blocked, I think I would be much the same.
Yeah. So this sounds like it could be good. I'm just the only concern I have is the fact that so many people didn't like the iPad implementation, and this is obviously based around that.
Yeah, but I think that there was just some usability issues with the iPad one, and that when you had a tweet selected, you couldn't actually deselect it easily. And you can click on an account link on the right and the left hand side, and it deselects, but it's not intuitive. And
whereas with the mouse, it is.
With the mouse, it is, and also, well, it's not so much the mouse. It's just there's just no obvious way we are using it. And you went from a very usable client before, where you didn't need to really, you know, switch on your brain to a. You are randomly clicking everywhere to try and get rid of this thing. And you're like, what's going on? Why is it selected? I don't want to select it anymore. What do I do? And it was just nothing obvious. And it wasn't just dumb me. There was lots of people confused.
Oh. Well, I love the idea of being able to see the links that people are putting in, directing
definitely.
The client. That sounds like a really nicely implemented. I mean, I guess as long as you can make the videos full screen or whatever, because there's not going to be a lot of room, I guess.
As I said, I loved it. I loved the fact that I can tweet out a Flickr set. And you get to see that really nicely displayed. I thought it was lovely.
And obviously it shows that they can maybe make more of the implementations going forward as well, so more services or whatever. So good news. I look forward to the day my account gets updated then. But just as we're sort of saying that's going to be good, their site today is causing havoc everywhere.
Havoc.
I don't know whether this is a long-standing issue, but basically there's a JavaScript injection type vulnerability within Twitter, which means that people have been attaching malicious code to the on mouse over on links inside of Twitter. Now, so the on mouse over fires whenever you roll over. You don't even have to click on a link, and it will send the user then to any site that they want. So, you know, obviously malicious people have been sending them to malware sites and things. So the advice today has been, don't go on the Twitter website.
And they fixed it pretty quickly, but me sitting on a client, I did find it quite amusing, all these tweets saying don't go on the twitter.com website, almost alongside at the same time saying I wish I could get new Twitter. So
yeah, I want to use the new website, but I'm not allowed to go on it today. So they fixed it, have they?
They have fixed it. I think it was fixed in an hour or two. I don't think it was anything like that bad.
A few people in my stream had the problem though. So
oh yeah,
I got clever old bit.
I did get quite a lot of tweets, and then tweets further on saying, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yes, proper viral stuff. In that, it, once you rolled over, it didn't just send you to the website; it also coded a retweet of that message, so you then sent it all to your friends. So I'm actually, again, amazingly creative and clever ways of making viruses. It's good stuff.
Hackers are the cleverest people out there.
Constantly amazed you. I don't think we've got the news story, but they've broken the Blu-ray master code, haven't they, this week? So now that there's potential that you can completely un-DRM all your Blu-rays.
But Intel will sue you if you use it.
Yes. So don't do it.
No, I think we should all do it.
Well, if everyone does it, like,
sue the world.
As someone said, I don't want to spend too long on it, but they kind of it's almost like they created a house which they embedded the key into the house, hoping that no one would find it, and now there's no way of them changing the key.
And that's the bit that does seem a bit kind of daft. You'd have thought, seeing as these devices all had to be connectable, you know, that was part of the Blu-ray spec.
So Facebook, let's keep in the social sphere. Facebook have launched their places in for UK users now. It was previously launched in US, and now they've spread it out. So it's just a quick
fantastic
update. Yep. I've not used it yet. Have you?
Yet more crud in my newsfeed.
Yes.
And out of interest, do you use Gualo or Foursquare?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I tried using Gualo and Foursquare. Nice enough apps, but just maybe I'm just not social enough.
They don't interest me enough at the moment.
No, it really kind of hacked me off that when I had to go somewhere to make use of it, I had to actually, I'm now here. And it's like, if I wanted somebody to know that, I would just tell them.
I don't even like having a mobile phone so that people can contact me all the time, let everyone know where I am.
You
every
antisocial
second.
Get.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like one of the guys at work. He's got a mobile phone and he switches it off. It's never on. So there's no point phoning him.
Because the mobile phone's for my use, not for yours. Exactly.
Exactly.
I am 100% on his side.
Funny enough, he's quite small as well.
Small man syndrome. Okay, HTC have released some new phones this week and services to go along with them.
Yes, so the first one, I guess, is almost like a Mobile Me type service. So it's htcsense.com. I had to slow down there.
That's an easy thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, as soon as I read it, I was like, uh-oh, danger. Yes. So this is like a dashboard for connected services, so you can back up your handset data. And there's a lot more security through it, so you can locate where your phone is from the website, you can ring it from the website, very much like the features on Mobile Me.
And is this for an Android-based device?
This is for, yes. So I think it's only Android. So even though HTC are doing, obviously, Windows phones, I don't think there's any commitment to do that for Windows devices, as far as I know. I don't know if that changes when they launch their Windows 7 phone.
So this seems like a nice service, the fact you can maybe lock down your phone if you lose it, or you can, you know, do that thing where if you lose it, you can find it by trying to, you know, sending a phone call to it. My point on this is another, I guess, a branch of Android. Now, a lot of people have been bemoaning the fact that loads of providers now are shoving these, what do you call them, skins on top of Android,
yes,
which are nice, and they add extra features. Things like this become possible. But they do mean that when Android releases updates, you're completely reliant on that carrier updating to the
Absolutely.
Latest version before you get the features.
And also, I think for like HTC, I think a lot of people do really like the Sense UI. So I think if you've got an HTC phone, it's not a bad thing.
But I think HTC have also been pretty quick in keeping updates.
Yeah,
as well.
I think it's the crud, you know, from your Vodafones and Orange.
Yes, Vodafone have come to massive fire, haven't they, for the rubbish they put on and don't let you take off.
And I meant to actually go back and query with the guy at work that's got a Desire right now. He's with Orange, and he either got a mail or a text from them saying that they were doing, I think it was X thousands of updates every 3 weeks. But if you looked at how many Orange customers that were there, it was going to be like 400 days to roll out...
And the speed that Android's moving, you know, they're going to have been 2 points on by the
time.
But
it was like, he was telling me this, and I was like, so in 400 days, you might be the last guy. And he went, yeah. I says, and it'll be 400 days from now before you get that update. And he went, Christ, that's right. Yeah. And I went, I says, that can't be right. And he read the email. He's like, no, that's what they're saying. But something didn't add up. That was crazy talk.
Yeah, and... my advice would be, if you're going to go for an Android phone, try and find one that doesn't have any of that.
Which
pretty hard to find.
I think it is getting really difficult to find. But also HTC have brought out, there's a couple of new actual devices. There's the HTC Desire Z, which is a QWERTY slider, which actually got rave reviews. I'm not a big fan of the kind of QWERTY sliders. I've never really liked them.
You know what I feel about buttons. I think they become useful in many situations.
Yeah, but there's a lot of buttons. I don't think a lot of buttons is that really that. You're just like Sony. Sony launched a website last week, and I meant to mention it last week's podcast, and it was slagging off Kinect, and it was like, you really need buttons. And I must, when you're prattling on doing one of the stories later on, I'll find a website.
Do you know what they are? And again, just going off the rails a little bit, I actually think the Sony Move is a better idea than Kinect. I think having something to hold is just becomes more apparent. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, we'll
sleazy.
See. I just think it'll actually end up being a better product, and that's just my impression. Don't know why.
You just want to wangle a cock at your screen, don't you?
I'm not sure the game's gonna. There's gonna be a game coming out that lets you do that.
I think that guarantees adult tag for this week's podcast. Anyways, yaybuttons.com.
Okay. Yaybuttons.com. There we go. We have seen the beta released for iOS 4.2. So developers can have a look at it, and this is the update that gives iPad the multitasking functionality, and also allows you to print from the iPad over Wi-Fi. I think
yes.
I'm right.
And it's basically unifying the iOSs as well. So up until now, iPad's been behind, but this 4.2 release will be for both iPhone and iPad, and brings everything together. So as you've already said, it brings a thing called AirPrint. So any printer connected up to your Mac or PC, and also devices coming out, will actually support AirPrint without needing a PC or a Mac connected as well. So HP are the first devices coming out, and you'll be able to just print from your screen.
Good news, and I think that's probably good news for any device, not just for the iPhone. I guess that means people are going to be able to tie into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole load of it's actually a very big update, you know, and it's from the people that have it installed. And I've actually downloaded it and chickened out of installing it because it wrecked your 3G settings, and I just couldn't be arsed figuring out how to get my 3G settings back on, because it's beta 1, so things are broke, and there are workarounds, and I was like, I've just not got the time at the moment to go playing.
So you downloaded like 2 gigs worth of stuff?
No, I didn't download it. I was just like, well, I can just wait for maybe like beta 2 or 3 once I know things become a bit more stable. As I said before,
or just wait for it to be released.
I do use it all the time, so I don't want to throw something on.
Just wait
on
for the real thing to be released. You're not developing anything at the moment, are you?
No, right. But I want the kind of...
The multitasking.
Multitasking, and there's just so many things that come with it that make it a really nice update.
I have heard that people have been using the latest one on the iPhone. Suddenly, when they go back to the iPad, and they kind of completely miss multitasking. As in,
oh, yeah, I do miss it.
They think, oh, crikey, this thing's broken.
The iPad almost feels quite old, even though it's a month behind iPhone. And I'm not just talking about from the hardware, it's just from the OS. It's just a really nice... I mean, I think the 4 update, just the multitasking, the way you can quickly switch, the way you can just move things around, just works really well.
Also, there's been a a VLC player, open source VLC player, now being allowed onto the App Store.
Yes.
For the iPad.
Yes. So this is, and in some ways it's probably like, it's almost trivial news, because VLC has been out for years on all formats. But they announced a couple of weeks ago that they were wanting to bring out VLC on the iPad. And I think a lot of people thought Apple will never approve it, because it was going to bring all the multi-codec support that VLC is well known for. But it was released yesterday. And
which is sounds very good news.
It plays basically any media file. Just when your iPad's connected to iTunes, you can go into the file sharing feature, drag over any movies you want, and they'll play, and it's great.
Is it scuppered in any way, or is it?
I don't think so. I think it is just the same as VLC, as if it was on a PC or Mac.
So I wonder why they allowed this application when they didn't feel like supporting these other codecs in the first place.
And it's an odd one. I mean, there was a player about 2 months ago, I can't remember its name, and it allowed other codecs, and everybody thought it wouldn't get through, and they approved it. And a few days passed, and people thought they just don't know that the codecs are there, but they let it
update. They clearly do.
Yeah, no, they clearly did, and they didn't have a problem with it. And I don't know whether that's when the VLC developers thought, why not?
I guess maybe the Apple are taking the other stance. Okay, this isn't on our heads, be it. This is on the app developers' heads, being it.
Well, also, I think this week, after the kind of climb down that we covered last week, we've seen two Google Voice apps return to the App Store. We've seen the Commodore 64 emulator, which used to have BASIC in it, but basically Apple said, take BASIC out and we'll allow the emulator.
Well, because BASIC's a real threat to the BASIC.
But BASIC's now back in. It seems a real...
So they really are, they're taking a more open stance.
And I still don't think it's a market share Android. I think there must be some regulatory reason. I think somebody was going to investigate and say, you've gone too far.
Well, they were obviously investigating the fact that Google Voice wasn't allowed on there. Maybe it's just taken this long to sort of, you know, push on through their development process and the recommendations maybe coming back.
Yeah, and Google were asked, could have been asked, you know, what about your app then that you submitted and is in limbo? And all they've said is, well, we're cracking on with our HTML5 version. And as for the actual app itself, no comment. So they're just looking at it. If it's HTML5, we're in total control. Nobody can tell us what to do. If we want to turn on and off features, we can do. We don't need to wait for approval from another company.
And you know what? I know that the Google talked about this at their keynote way back when. Or not way back when, really, but
way back feels when. Like
it. In technology world, it seems a long time ago now. I think they're right. I think
I think
apps have got a limited time span.
Because you can
do the same thing inside a web page.
Certain things, I think, are always going to be app-based. But a lot of the games, I can still see it being 2 or 3 years before you've got maybe enough power
Yes. I think games is a different use case. I would say yes, there's a good use case for an app being a game. And maybe even a productivity app in certain situations. But I think nearly everything can be delivered by web.
Oh yeah, I mean, if I look at some of the things I'm doing, like, you know, Remember the Milk. If they slickened up the website, you know, I can see me just having a website, you know, rather than an app.
I was just thinking, I was working it through, and I was sat on my laptop downstairs thinking, I don't need any applications on this laptop.
Mm.
There's nothing I need on here. I can do everything on the web browser already.
And I think that's why more and more something like an iPad is going to be, and I'm not saying an iPad from an Apple point of view, I just think that kind of tablet device, it is getting to be that now is the time for this.
I'm really looking forward to when Google release their, you know,
Google OS. It'll be very, very interesting. And obviously there's a whole load of stuff coming out about the Samsung Tab, and I think that is going to be a really nice device price-wise, but same as iPad. I thought they would be really undercutting the iPad, but they've not.
No, it seems like the iPad, you know, say what you like about Apple being expensive, but they've pulled out some pretty amazing prices for what they offer.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly amazing for my bank balance.
Something like that. Right. So another Google story is that they are going to bring out two-step authentication. So this is not only username, password, but also another level of security to verify who you are. So in the, you know, in sort of the corporate world, you used to carry a sort of a a counter on a key fob type thing. Which
so Secure ID is, I think, the most popular one. I've certainly got one for my for dialing into work.
So you, basically there's a number that syncs between the key fob and the server, and you also you need to have that physical bit of hardware to be able to log in.
Yes.
Each time. So, but Google are going to do two-step via your mobile and texting you a key, basically, or a number.
Yeah, so and I'm guessing it'll just be a mobile app, display the random number the same way Secure ID's little dongle would display it. And if you don't have access to your phone or the app at the time, they're willing to text it, or I think they're even talking about voice message it as well.
Because there's plenty. I mean, say that when you verify your mobile on Google or in say PayPal, it's a pretty quick process. You know, the text comes straight through, and it's
oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's just another layer of, you know, you need a bit of physical hardware to do it.
And I'm surprised, actually. No, and I'm saying I'm surprised, but then I never thought of it myself. You know, some of the banks are starting to use the secure IDs, the dongles as well. But I'm surprised that they've not actually looked at so many people have iPhones and Android devices now.
I much prefer this idea to HSBC's current thing, which is actually shoving a bit of software right at the core of your... well, almost into the kernel, I think.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's a bit, that then, you know, does a very base level check that you're allowed to be in there. But I just don't like anyone getting into my system that deep down.
No, that sounds wrong.
Yeah. So I haven't installed that. I mean, there will come a day, I'm sure, when they don't let you log in without it.
Yeah.
But this is a much nicer way of doing it. I mean, I have to say, for things like email, I still think it's. Is it going to still be a bit of a pain to have, you know, your mobile?
Well, so
type in a number each time.
Just a bit more context to this: they're actually rolling it out first to Google App Premier users and Education and Government Edition customers. So a real chase in the enterprise market. And I think that's just to say that, you know, cloud computing in the enterprise is secure. You know, and here's some of the things that we can roll out and do to make it even more secure.
And they've probably been calling it for it, to be fair.
Yeah, you know, and I think they were talking about how they've got, you know, they've got 3 million businesses now that are now using Google Apps. It's a lot, and fair enough, a lot of the businesses might just be, you know, one and two people shops. I'm not saying they're all like, you know, 10,000 employee businesses.
Well, I use Google Apps. I don't use their, what they'd call their Premier Edition, but I use Google Apps.
Yeah, but they do plan to roll this out to all Google users over the next few months. And I think it's optional. So it's not like we will force you to do this if you don't want to do it, but I don't see the harm.
I think it'd be nice to be able to turn it on for, say, certain things and leave it off for others, or maybe just have, you know, say, I want to be updated, you know, check it once every while, or if I'm in a different location maybe or something.
So
that would be most ideal, wouldn't it? If you're in a different location from your standard, then it texts you to check it's you.
And I think, you know, if you could even set it, if you knew you were going away for 2 weeks when you were travelling and you wanted to be ultra secure during that travel period.
When you're using sort of...
Any machines.
You know, coffee shops or whatever.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yep, good news.
Now, one little sneaky bit of this announcement. Google Docs at the moment, I can't edit a Google Doc on the iPad. And seemingly it's the same on Android as well. But over the next few weeks, that will be a new feature. So on the iPad, I'll be able to do Google Doc editing.
That's good news.
It's very good news, I think. I think it's another... If you look at what you can do with the iWorks packages in iPad, and I can't speak for Android, but if you look at the iWorks one, so that's, you know, Pages and Keynote and Numbers, Google Docs is pretty similar. So to have that just available now, you know, basically for free.
I have to say, I've never used Google Docs extensively for a real, what I'd call, you know, a laid out, properly done document, but I'm sure it's possible. The tools look good.
Yeah, and I guess I've not done anything big on it, but I've certainly done some of my home documents now. I've just moved over to Google Docs.
I mean, it feels like a decent enough word processor when you're using it.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. So to have that on iPad, that'd be another. I mean, with that, and I think the operating system update to 4.2, it's
going to bring you bang up to date. It's going to be a good old time.
Well, until January.
Yes. Talking about bang up to date, so IE9 has been released into beta, Internet Explorer, their latest incarnation, sporting what they're calling speedier and much better standard support, basically.
Much better stuff.
Better Guts.
Have you had a chance to try it?
No, I haven't installed it because basically I can't. You know, it's the endless thing of Internet Explorer only lets you have one version of it on your operating system. Yeah. So I have to basically to do it to test it. I'll have to create a virtual machine.
Yeah,
but I can't create a virtual machine on XP because it's not supported.
And I'm just not going to go about creating a virtual machine just to go and test this. I mean,
it's quite important for my job to know that, you know, how it's going to cope. But I'm just assuming that it's going to be coping a lot better than.
Eight
does currently.
Yeah, but how many sites have you had to put hacks into? And if those hacks are now broken, I guess that's only. And I don't know how valid that's going to be. I guess it's just going to be a suck and see once it comes out, you know, for real.
I just think that, you know, it can't get any worse than it has done in the past. And generally over the last few releases, it has been getting better.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, I actually like all sounds of it, it looks good.
I actually like the look of it. It looks more and more like Chrome.
And Chrome's showing the way, basically. Everything's starting to look more and more like Chrome, basically.
Search and address bar, you know, a lot better management of downloads and tabs. You can tear the tabs off. Standard's a big step up. But I think the standard stepping up is more just a sign of how everything's going to the mobile web.
Yes. I mean, you have to be supporting all that stuff.
Yeah, but no.
And good news for developers if it is standards compliant. And also, hopefully, this might be the step up that encourages corporations to move away from IE6.
Oh, please.
Please.
Because we started testing IE7, but then that got canned because IE8 was there, so we started testing IE8, and we're still not away from 6. It's like, and let's make
IE8
the jump.
Was probably the first release where you can pretty much use cross-browser code again now, as if you don't have to hack it too much. And so hopefully IE9 will just be that final step. Yep. That.
And my web skills are legendary. Weak, and having to hack stuff for IE6 just gets right on my nipples.
I just wish that you know, corporations would just not get stuck with IE. You know?
It's hard. So honestly, I know one of the other podcasts you were saying I don't understand and stuff because I remember it sticks in my head
because it's so painful for me.
Yeah, but it's
I have
just
to deal with this crap.
I guess kind of on the other side now and kind of owning some of the architecture at work now, it's kind of like, oh, I can't do that.
because if I upgrade this, then I'm going to have to do that, and that's going to impact on my team and whatever. But I don't care. The further behind you fall,
well, your body well should care.
The further behind you fall, the worse things get, and it just has got to this impasse where, you know, website development can't move on now because we're waiting for stupid firms to get up to date.
Easy Tiger.
You know who you are. So,
Banzai!
We have had the Tokyo Game Show in the red corner.
See, before we did the podcast, that sounded a whole lot better.
Oh dear. Hello, our Japanese listeners. And goodbye probably now.
So I've pulled out a couple of things that I thought were quite notable. I don't know, there wasn't too much revealed, but I think there's like the three or four big shows, there's only so much can really be announced,
and they come in quick succession really, don't they?
Yeah. So PS3 got another firmware update, which is actually out today, to 3.5. And the only big thing with this is it actually brings 3D Blu-ray support. So 3D games had been supported up to now, but this is actual 3D Blu-ray movies. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah. Gran Turismo. So we are less than, what are we now, 6 weeks away? November 5th
it's November, isn't it?
Or 11th or some crazy time in November. And just when you thought, like, there's nothing more they can obviously announce, because I've talked about carts and crazy cars and you can rally in NASCAR and do all sorts of nonsense, and there's thousands of cars and hundreds of tracks, and you can, it'll do damage and does weather, and you're thinking, blimmin' hell, kitchen sink.
And you can spend 130 quid on one version if you want to.
Yes. But they've also announced now Gran Turismo Anywhere, which is a new web portal for the racing sim.
Right.
So you've got a My Home, which includes message boards, photo sharing and the like, as well as remote races, which isn't real-time racing, but it's like team management, because I've talked about this Gran Turismo B-Spec, which is a team management simulation within the game. And see, when you hear all this, you now realise why it's taken all this time.
How does this all fit into a game? I don't understand.
See, if you're the guy in charge, at some point you should have went, stop developing.
Yeah, they basically came up with a feature list and then it crept.
Yep.
and they've just said,
look, we're going to add it and there's nothing you can do. And I've just went, yeah, you're right, crack on.
So, you can see why this game has taken so long, unless, you know, it's obviously an epic thing, but at the end of the day, if it's not a good racing game, it's all pointless.
Which it won't be.
I think it'll have life in it once it. I think people rave over it just for its history and stuff, but it's going to look good.
But for me, they rave over it because of the first Gran Turismo, which was a real step up from anything else.
Oh, I still remember the first time I saw that game. It's incredible.
Mm. You know, but it's like Pro Evo. You know, Pro Evo, if you play football games, it's like, oh, I just remember, you know, the classic Pro Evos, and now it's like, oh. The other one that caught my eye was Last Guardian, which is the kind of the kind of third part of Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, well-respected, well-loved games on PS2. So Last Guardian is coming out holiday 2011, which is an age away.
that's an announcement in advance.
But the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, which a lot of people didn't pick up, and Ico was actually very difficult to pick up because it was a limited release in the UK. But Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, HD remakes are coming to PS3 in spring. So I think it's actually two old classic games that I'm probably going to pick up because I would love to play them.
I didn't notice much else coming out of Tokyo other than sort of just, you know, basic game updates that you can catch on your websites or whatever. But obviously the game that's being released this week we're all excited about is the Formula One 2010. And further to out my scepticism last week, the reviews have been coming out at about 8 out of 10, 8.5, something like that. So it sounds like it could be a goodie.
Oh, I think so it
I'm
is.
Looking forward to
I mean,
that.
Even when part of me felt it was going to be too much of an arcade, you know, F1. But the actual reviews, I've almost seen people knocking it down because, some people won't like the kind of sim aspects of it, which I've been really surprised at. I thought,
which is music to my ears when I hear that.
Yes, and not music to mine, because it means you'll be constantly cuffing me now.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but you know, that's what I'd hope.
I'm going to so beat you up in Halo now.
My order's now processing, so I'm another one to get excited about.
I've heard nothing.
I always feel a bit sad and geeky when I get excited about a game, but you know. Such is life.
Just look at Metacritic, it's currently running at 85 out of 100.
Which is, so that's definitely a percentage better than I thought. And say, more adds just to add to the hype. Okay, so that is the news for this week. We are making good progress. So let's get on to our joint pick.
Hey.
I'm going to say joint because I'm going to come in on this because I haven't got one.
But
it had to be, drum roll please.
hold on. I can't do it for laughing. So this is one of our cheapest yet. Halo Reach is our pick of the week.
We could have picked it ahead. We could have picked it during, and now we're definitely picking it after.
Well, I always think out of all the kind of, I'm going to say liquors, but nobody will know what liquors is.
No.
So I've said that and probably think that some people are probably sitting there thinking this is some really shady group.
Like, what the heck?
Right, so I need to quickly explain. Lick My Ear was a website. First started when MotoGP started up and there was no way of doing leagues, and it ran some great racing leagues. And a few of us have kept in touch ever since. Affectionately known as Lickers.
Lickers.
That about sums it up. But amongst the liquors, I always thought I always liked Halo the most. I'd always be the one probably still playing it, even though it wasn't the best. I just turned it away and it just kind of suited the way I played those kind of games. And this for me is like the ultimate Halo. It's got all the bits of multiplayer that I would want in a game.
So we've had, I would say, 4 evenings play so far.
Yeah, well, quite a lot. Put this, we've put in a lot of hours already.
A lot of hours, and still it feels like you're just sort of tickling the surface.
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on in this game. You know, there's the single player, uh, the, multiplayer, well, the multiplayer campaign versions, and then all the multiplayer versions that they've ever released for any other Halo, kind of all rammed into this one game.
And they're already talking about the next update, which will address some little fixes I've noticed from all the games that have been played. And also jig the playlist a little bit. And I talked about that being October, which I'm thinking, I'm sure is tied up with Medal of Honor release. And I'm sure they'll do one in November to tie up with Call of Duty release. Because it's all the games are doing that now, just with playlist updates. It just really freshens up the game when they can throw in a couple of new maps that you've maybe not tried.
And they are clearly still the masters at online on a console. Everything about their interface and the way it works and the way it runs through is so slick, quick. Yeah. You don't even have to think about it. You always have visual feedback of what's going on. You never get it. Just seems that they don't fall foul to all the problems that other people seem to develop into their games.
Yeah, and I just love the whole, you know, you can be in a real barren run and it can just turn around and you can be awesome for the next 3 or 4 games. And then one player will just take it away from you just by being so much better.
There's always cries of, they must be doing something dodgy.
Lag.
No,
look
just,
at the lag just, I'm getting.
They're just better. So yeah, it's one of those games that just awesome highs, awesome lows.
So
good fun.
It's cracking fun. If you've got a 360 and you haven't picked it up, really, really recommend it. Even the campaign I've been kind of enjoying.
I want to put a caveat on that, in that there are people who just do not like the Halo game, the Halo style.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do not like the Halo game or style,
get a grip.
This is well, I would say just don't bother with it, in that this is just the ultimate version of that. But some people are just never going to enjoy
it. I've noticed a few posts saying, I love Call of Duty and I didn't like the last Halo, but I've picked this up and I hate it. And it's like, well, it's a different style of game.
It is very different.
Yeah. I have to rhyme off some of these stats. So it's only been launched a week. So I think it was last Tuesday that we got our copies. Since then, there have been 31 million games played online. What else have I been quite impressed with? There's so many total credits being earned that I can't read out the number. In total, 953 years have been spent so far in match-made games. And 1,365 years have been spent in campaign. I was actually surprised campaign was so much more than matchmaking, because I just go for matchmaking.
I think people early doors people like to go through the campaign so they don't get any spoilers or whatever.
Yeah. True. The kind of one bit that I don't spend too much time on is the old going into theatre, reviewing old games, seeing videos, looking at other people's videos. But almost 1 million videos or screenshots have been updated. And 4.5 million have been downloaded.
Do you think there's an element of, for me, that section's always, I want to have a look at it once and then I don't bother after that.
Remember the other night when I had the jetpack on and I scalped somebody in my deer? And you went, that looked awesome. It didn't when I watched it back. It was like one of these things. I thought, I wonder if I can get a... No, I can't. So
it was good at the time. It was one of moment those, in time. But yes. Don't go back to it.
But no, that is just a fantastic game.
Microsoft were touting that this was going to be their biggest ever game, bigger than any other game that had ever come before.
$200 million in a day.
Well, they sold what was it, 2 million copies on releases. I don't know, it's just amazing how much money they've made out of it already. You can see there's big money in this.
Oh, it's incredible when you're looking at some of the big movies, they talk about, oh yeah, we've got to 200 million 300 million after its full run plus DVD and Blu-ray release.
Yeah,
and that's not including all the costs. That's just how much, and you're thinking 200 million one day.
Yeah, big business indeed. Anyway, amazingly, that is us. We are obviously just in time for our game of Halo. Surprisingly amazing. If you want to find out more about us, have a look at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Where can we find more about you, Ian?
I'm on the hacked Twitter site as Sweeper, and my blog is at iand.net.
And I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Thank you very much for listening. See you next time.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Get out.
How about that? How about that? Get out.
Ah, Bernie Lick, we're coming for you now.
That sounded a little bit
wrong.
Yeah.
A bit like weaving a cock at the screen. I don't know where that came from.
Where did that come from? Never will you be able to play use a PlayStation Move.
Well, I've not bought one. So I was even going to mention and I thought, well, you've not got one, I've not bought one, so it's not important.
Can't be important if we haven't got it.
No. I actually noticed that a lot of people are selling it for like £25. Which is just the kind of the cocklight device, not the actual other bit. All right.
Not the receptacle.
You know this is going to end up in giving and taking if we don't watch it.
So let's leave it at that.
Get out.